On this episode of DC On Screen, we are talking about that theatrical trailer for The Suicide Squad, some weird Flash tidbits, the Batman is officially on Earth 2 now? I don't know. Right after you skip through these commercials. Welcome into DC On Screen episode 633. This is the podcast. We talk about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television, give honest opinions on upcoming projects, and believe that every version of a property is valid, even if we don't want it to be. If it has been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers and welcome to the show.
David C. Robertson, and I need some water.
Yeah, having trouble getting through this intro. David C. Robertson. And this, the man who knows that time flies like an arrow, but fruit flies like a banana, Jason Gons.
That's just that's a classic joke.
Classic joke, Groucho, man.
Yeah. I often try to roll with you on the intros, but I'm not even going to touch that. Just that's fantastic.
Yep, just shine the tip like it's pewter, baby.
Yeah, not even going to attempt to hang out in the wings of that joke.
Yeah, you know, I tried my best not to make this one a dick joke, and then I said shine the tip like it's pewter. What the hell is wrong with me?
I did the same, and then I accidentally said wings after a joke that talked about things flying. So I didn't mean to. I have dad brain. Dad brain puns good.
Oh, not my God.
Dad brain just puns.
Really quick, do you remember how I was telling you about the guy CT on the challenge who had gotten big but was still a beast, and he kept talking about his dad bod?
No.
That's the thing.
I do not.
But then, like, there was a couple of seasons where he didn't do very well, and he went home early. He came back, and he was just, like, really in shape. And he says, yeah, I got rid of the dad bod. Now I have a fatherly figure.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Two quick anecdotes, and then I'll stop.
Sure.
Holding stop, I guess. But the... I literally said something to my wife earlier today. We have this, so my daughter has this little, it's called Ty. And we called it that because it's a tiger shaped thing that roughly looks like an old Ty baby, like Ty beanie bag thing.
Okay.
And it's a little bit bigger, but we bought her like a smaller version when we lost the big version one day.
Mm-hmm.
We got her a smaller version.
This is the purple tiger, you said?
Yeah, the purple striped tiger thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Like, we got her a third one because at this point, my wife started, like, investigating manufacturers and emailing people to try to figure out, like, how can I get my hands on another one of these just in case?
Right.
Because this thing is crucial. You know,
okay.
We're at that stage. Like, this thing is oxygen. And she got one. She got a new one. It's kind of an oranger version than the purple one, but that's fine. And then she said, I've got one more coming. And I said, okay, cool. We're going to take the one more you have coming, and I'm going to shove it in my office in a corner where only I know exists, because that is our backup tie.
Uh-huh.
I said, embrace yourself, because I'm going to say this. It's there in case we need to tide her over.
Uh-huh.
And she just sighed and said, that's not okay. It's not okay that you did that. I said, you can't stop me. It is my right as a father to say that kind of stupid shit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a father, and I say that kind of stupid shit on a daily basis.
Yeah.
All right.
She was not happy with me.
So, we've got a whole 7 pages here.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get through. Thank you to the patrons. If you want to join their hallowed ranks. I don't know what it means to be hallowed, but damn it, they're hallowed. $1 a month gets you every episode ad-free. $5 a month gets you that, plus whatever else we decide to put up. And we did record a Patreon episode just a few minutes ago. And I've got like 2 other Patreon episodes. Like, God, they're so long. I don't want to edit them. I need to. It backed up on me.
You just throw them out. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're long.
Yeah, just Hail Mary that thing.
Hoist them. Hoist them and hope they find a petard.
Right.
So, yeah, that's happening. Patreon.com/DC on screen. If you do not want to deal with Patreon, or if you already do and you want to help us out a little bit more, you can pop over to DConscreen.com and click the donate button. It'll take you to like a PayPal screen. You can give us whatever you want. I don't think you can PayPal voodoo dolls to anybody, though. So,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, if you want to, I don't know what that would do. You have to keep the voodoo doll to do something to us, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That is how that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a dumbass. I say weird shit. And if you want to support the show and get some swag, check out our merch store. It's right next to the donate button on dconscreen.com. It says store. It's fairly obvious. And if you want to be like this person, whose name I will not attempt to say, you can leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. This person wrote jokes, geeky shit. What more would you need out of a podcast? Good stuff. And of course, they gave us a 5-star review. So thank you.
Well, fantastic. Thank you.
ALSBSIWNDHD.
Yeah. I was wondering.
In my head,
I'm going to write it down. Say that again. I'm curious.
ALS. BSI.
BSI.
WNDHD.
Yeah.
When I first saw that name, I'll tell you how my brain pronounced it. My brain just went, ee! It flatlined.
I don't even know how to make sense. I don't even know what abbreviations are being combined.
This is like the caretaker of Aslan or something.
Yeah, like this is way worse. That I saw a license plate on the way to work the other day that was LYNSKYN, and I was like, cool. Leonard Skinner fan. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
I need no interpretation.
All right.
All's balls. See a windy high definition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So a quick note to start the show before we get into what little news there really was. If you are a listener of the show, if you've listened to us for a long time, if you follow us on Twitter, you know, we stand with Ray Fisher, we stand with Chris Terrio, Fabian Wagner, Zack Snyder. We want to restore the Snyderverse, absolutely. We want Journey Smollett in the Black Canary series that people are petitioning for. We would love to see Deathstroke on HBO Max. We'd love to see the Batfleck movie, all the things. We're not getting deep into it this episode, man. Ray Fisher had that really lengthy article. A lot of we've already talked about on the show because a lot of it just kind of recapped. There was a lot of new stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that article, it'll renew your vigor, but it's not anything that we haven't kind of discussed a little bit before.
Yep. Problematic people in charge. Ray says he doesn't think, he says these people aren't fit for leadership. I totally agree. That is a really long article. Chris Terrio, I do want to talk about one aspect of it, and it's at the end of the show, but it's just a bit of fun because he says that they already named Batman v Superman, and he doesn't know who named it that, but it wasn't him. And I agree with him. That is a terrible name.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to talk about what we think it should have been. They're
both deeply interesting.
I've got links to them in the show notes.
Yeah. All the Ray stuff it's heartbreaking, frankly. And, I want more to come of it. It's just, we're not to that portion of the show yet. And of course we know about it. And of course we'll talk about it later. At this stage, it's a little later than the articles come out for us to talk about it. B, we've mostly talked about it before. And C, you know, we're frankly a little bit exhausted on the topic at the moment, frankly, emotionally.
Yeah, it's not very, it's just not interesting to me anymore. Injustices were done. And yeah. Like I said, I'll absolutely provide links to those articles because they were interesting, but they're interesting in their own right. And I don't have whatever it is that it takes in me anymore to read off whole articles verbatim and analyze it. I that's not what I want this show to be, and that's what it has been for way too long now, and I've got to take a step back from that.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is we're also, that's pretty much what we did with Ann Sarnoff, and we're just trying to take a breather from that for a second. Now that we don't have thoughts, and I'm sure they're all, not even relevant, but they're relevant to us. But They're like,
they're not even relevant to me. Like, we, I just, okay.
I don't think we, part of it's like, I just don't think we can contribute anything. So,
right.
That's, yeah, we know. And we're just going to, it's not like we're moving on. We know it's there. We'll absolutely talk to you, anybody who asks us a question. But we're just not going to like cover it verbatim or go through every talking point. Like, frankly, some others have with amazing dexterity and some wonderful insight.
I'll tell you two off the top of my head because we're friends with these guys. And, you know, the Flight Cast, his podcast, The Flight Cast, mm-hmm. go check it out. FLITE.
Aptly called The Flight Cast.
Right. Ray does a fantastic job digging into the Ray Fisher article on the latest episode of The Flight Cast. DC Film Squadcast. They actually get into the Ray Fisher, but they actually go more into the Chris Terrio article. Can't recommend those guys more.
Yeah. Both good jobs.
Both great jobs.
And the, even the Terrio stuff is like, yeah, it was interesting because it felt like a unique perspective on the writing part of the process, which is always interesting mm-hmm. to me, and I know you.
Yes.
But
I don't know how it would make it interesting to someone else necessarily from my perspective.
Yeah. Honestly, like if I had to paraphrase what Dave and I were talking about at any point when we were reading these articles and talking, it's mostly like, yeah, get them. All right.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just the article.
Yeah.
Go
otherwise,
read.
It just speaks for itself and we have nothing meaningful to contribute.
Yeah. It's like I could read a paragraph and go, outrage. Yeah. That's about what I felt. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not being excited about these properties. And I'll admit, Warner Brothers is, dude, man, they're making it hard. They're making it hard to be excited about shit, man.
Yeah, they're doing their damnedest to take the winds out of anyone's sails at times. And the funny part is, maybe the one meaningful contribution I can make right now is I feel like they think they're trying to just kind of like, it's like there's a whole kitchen working and they think it's just one of you know, 12 ranges and 48 eyes and one of them has an oil fire and they're just over there trying to fucking bat it down. And I don't think they understand what they're up against. It's just not that. If it was that to begin with, we wouldn't be where we are now.
Yeah. I think if it was just like fervent followers of a director, it would be one thing. But now it's all tied into like actual like social issues.
Yeah. Stuff that actually needs change, regardless of even whether we saw this movie.
So every time they like, you know, throw out an HBO Max trailer for Snyder Cut that says the completion of Zack Snyder's trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like to a lot of people, that's just being like Warner Brothers saying, and we will continue to be racist. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's all tied into everything.
Saw the, like, and the completion of Zack Snyder's trilogy. The image I had was a dude standing at the corner of a rug holding the rug up about a foot and a half off the ground, looking at you pensively like, huh? And pointing under the rug
mm-hmm.
as though mm-hmm. that was where I was supposed to scoot.
Fair enough. All right. So,
like lots of amazing things have been said. We just don't have anything quite right now to say about it. And we took, it was during one of our 2 week breaks anyway, where most of it was breaking. So a lot of it's been said. So it's fine. We will meet you again on the other side of when something really happens and we'll be there for it.
I'm sure I've said it on the show. And this has been my general feeling every day this week. Well, not every day, because I haven't checked it every day. I've actively tried to get away from Twitter. Mm-hmm. But I think I replied this to Ray or somebody, to Flightcast or somebody. But, you know, I've been watching a lot of In the Heat of the Night. And at some point, there's this Carol O'Connor line where something will happen. And he'll just look at somebody and go, I get so tired. And that's how I feel. Like, every day that I see anything from Warner Brothers, I just think, I get so tired. Like, I just don't, I don't have the will anymore.
I'll tell you this. It's not like, it's a bit tiresome. And I've been tired of things before. And frankly, I was wrong to have gotten tired. I should have gotten infuriated instead. But this is a moment where, it's different from being tired and done. It's just a tired and let's wait a second and we'll pick it up in a second. Frankly, probably we'll see you next week with some more infuriating shit that we have a bunch of shit to say about.
Yeah, maybe I'll get my gumption up. But like, you know, last week, I guess we had some, I don't even remember what happened last week. This is how like out of my mind I am. Feels like we both of us had shit to do that we couldn't get around to this.
Mm-hmm. No, literally, yeah.
But it was a saving grace because I didn't have it in me last week. Like, I was out of it. I could not handle it emotionally.
Yeah. For the last 2 weeks, I've had people out at work, and I've been working, 12-hour days and then coming back. I didn't have time. It's 12-hour days, coming back, doing all the family stuff, and then, you know, some house stuff on top of that. Like, and no, I couldn't work it in last week. Life happens.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not saying we're going to quit the show or something. I'm not saying I'm out. None of that.
Oh, far from that.
I'm
here for the long haul and the long fight at this point. I missed the first round. I will not miss the second.
Right. I mean, we're 633 episodes in. Like, we've been dealing with Warner Brothers. I mean, shit, man. You and I standing around hanging out all night talking about how Warner Brothers is a bunch of dumbasses.
Yeah.
Years before we started this show.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. We're not
talking
about
how they fucked up our franchises for a while.
Let's get to some stuff here. You want to look at this theatrical trailer for Suicide Squad, for the Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
You know, by the way, general audience, kind of a general audience. Opinion here, anecdotal, but my youngest sister, I would let her watch the trailer, and she was like, "That looks really good." But what's the title of the movie? I said, "The Suicide Squad." She's like, "But that's what the other one was called." And I said, "No, the other one was just called Suicide Squad." And she said, "The difference in title is an article." And I said, "Yep." And she went, "That's really dumb. Somebody needs to be fired." And I'm like, I know.
We have more thoughts on titles later.
Yeah. just letting you know, she doesn't follow it like we do. She likes Batman, she likes all that shit, but she doesn't follow it like we do. So
she's got plenty of time invested, but it's I haven't spent enough time with her and definitely heard enough stories from you about her. I haven't spent a ton of it, but just enough to kind of get a little bit of a gauge. And I've definitely heard some stories from you that I had no doubt that her question was going to be like, the difference is an article.
Yeah.
And I was perfectly sure that she wasn't going to go, the difference is the word the. No, that she was going to say, the difference is an article.
Yep. I was like, yeah, that's it.
You're like, yeah, how do you feel up to it? Okay, yeah, it's about, okay. I was wondering, but yeah, I felt that way too a little bit.
Yeah, let's look at the Suicide Squad trailer. This is the theatrical trailer that they put out here. It is a PG-13 trailer.
Mm.
Well, so
no beach of dicks.
no beach of dicks. All right. So
I wonder how I worked that out too. That it was given John Cena's diet on. An average small beach, it was like 65 years worth of dicks that he could eat.
I don't know, man. You said numbers and it was near the end of the show.
It was a lot of dicks. Just say. I've forgotten the numbers myself now. It was many dicks.
So in this Rebellion trailer, that's what they're calling it. So that's what you look it up. Mm-hmm. As the Suicide Squad Rebellion trailer. Pretty much out of the gate, we've got Harley with this jacket on that says Live Fast, Die Clown.
Mm-hmm.
This is the dumbest shit.
It's perfectly dumb.
It is. I was like, what does this mean? Not saying I didn't enjoy it, though.
I feel like it's going to be better with the comma. Live Fast, Die Clown.
Yeah. So I saw a whole lot of people talking about how this should have been the trailer that they dropped in the first place.
Yeah, but dude, if they had done it the other way around, there'd have been the same amount, but different people saying the same of this trailer.
Yeah. I mean, it was just all the people who didn't like the dick jokes.
Yeah, I get it. I just, It's
I love both trailers, honestly.
I enjoy them both, and for very separate reasons. But that's the thing, is like, you're not going to get, depending on how you cut a trailer, you might get the funny version or the dramatic version or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, dude, a trailer is not a perfect cross section of a movie. It's how
no.
the trailer hell's made that thing half the time.
I love the Western tone of this thing.
The little.
I mean, the whole thing just feels like it's a 70s. Well, I mean, it does. It feels like a sort of a 70s, whatever, Western type of team up
yep.
movie.
Yeah.
We actually got like the detachable kid here for a second.
Yep. It's pretty good music. I mean, I'm not a big fan of anthem rock.
Right.
I mean, there are some exceptions. Some of Queen's anthem rock is fucking out of this world. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good take on it. I enjoyed it. I'm kind of looking at this cross-section of like Blackguard, Savant, TDK, Weasel, Mongol, Javelin.
Yeah, they're definitely getting into more of the members that we didn't see in the last trailer.
Yeah. Like Javelin, I don't think it was anything. I think there was maybe one big shot with him in it. Like one wide shot with him in it, but
mm-hmm.
that may be it. Definitely not a lot of Mongal.
Well, I mean, we got more Mongal than we got the last trailer, for sure.
Oh, yeah, and I meant in the first trailer, yeah. Redoing the what I'm going to call the classroom scene.
Mm-hmm.
Just reeks of professorship. Well, then you get it. All right, so that dance scene, I was curious before, and now that I've seen that little shot of John Cena, maybe it was there before, but now that I've seen Peacemaker dancing, like, there's some ecstasy happening right now, right? I'm putting your money like, right now like down that's not drunk, that's X.
Maybe.
Because watch, he smiles later, kind of weirdly. King Shark. That weird shirtless scene of John Cena just laughing maniacally. Man, it could just have been that he killed 12 people for peace, and he's very mm-hmm. proud of himself. I don't know, dude. That looks like a fucking like post-club X-induced party scene smile.
Maybe so, man.
Fucking Polka Dot Man, he's gonna be more powerful than the naysayers were ever expecting.
I mean, we said it. We said he would be.
Yeah, some proper detachable kid. I still don't know what that does. Like, you detach, you make yourself a wider target. You theoretically maybe shot more.
Yeah, you know, my hope was just to watch him pull his own armor off and beat somebody with it. But
do you know how disappointed I would be if we don't see that? Like, if there was one thing that I would angrily throw a half-eaten bag of popcorn in the trash and think, god damn it, it might be that.
You know, I hadn't thought about it until now, which is weird for me, but I mean, what do you think the chances are he's going to pull his own dick off and throw it at somebody?
Hell fucking yes. I hope that's the instigation for the dick comment, frankly. I hope they stand around and look at it like, do we pick it up?
Will he retrieve it later?
Like, why is it kind of wrecked? I'm very confused right now. I don't know, dude. When he detaches his arms, why didn't blood spill out of both? I don't understand. I don't understand the physics and the anatomy of the detachable kid. Mm-hmm. Of course, he can just pull it off and yank it at somebody. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that scene.
If it happens, it might be a little too far. I quite enjoyed the, but you're peacemaker. You know, I cherish peace with all of my heart, even if I have to kill every man, woman, and child to get it.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were the crazy one. I am. And it only makes you wonder more deeply because, how do you say his last name? You're way more practiced. You've got it down. Hit me with
David
it.
Dustmalchian?
Dustmalchian. Thank you. I never can say it until you've said it for me. Dustmalchian is one of those people that's like some... Like when he was on Gotham, for instance, like, god, man, fucking, who told you to do that? Tone it down.
Yeah.
What happened here? But I go between loving and just not knowing what to do with that guy's performances. This is one where I'm like, oh, fucking, I'm digging every second of this.
Yeah.
This and mopey motherfucker dressed in multicolors. I'm digging it.
I'll tell you this, though, too. You know, you'll recall he also played Abracadabra on The Flash.
I do recall.
And he reprised the role Mm-hmm. Very, like this season.
Mm, hadn't seen that yet. Mm,
I know you haven't. And having seen these trailers very recently, for the first probably half of that Flash episode, I was thinking, dude, somebody is telling this dude to just like shoot for the stars. Like he is like, he is overacting. He is, he's playing to the back seats.
Mm, gotcha.
And then there's an emotional shift and they actually hit on some shit emotionally for the character and like a tragic backstory. And he tones it down. He plays it real. And I'm like, this dude's got range because like clearly now I see that this is the you know, play to the back of the audience there.
Mm-hmm.
That's an affectation. Like this dude is like very, very broken.
Yeah. No, I can get behind that. And I feel it. I know he's got comedy chops because I've seen those a few times too. He's a character actor that I feel like I've known for a long, like it, you scroll down a, you know, 50 page IMDb or 50 link IMDb for him. And I feel like I'm going to know 10 or 12 of those. And
mm-hmm.
even if it's like a, you know, lost episode of My Name is Earl or some shit, I'm going to like, oh yeah, yeah, no, I did see that. Yeah, you're right. But he, I don't know. I think I've said this many times before. You know, there's people that you see them and when they have a bad day, you don't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those.
Fair enough.
Like, it's possible that if we pulled his episodes and the ones with Geomancer, we might find a director that was maybe somebody we need to have some concerns over.
Yeah. Now, one of the most interesting things is this Ratcatcher 2 girl.
Mm-hmm.
With this trailer and the last trailer, like the combo, I've fallen for her a little bit. Like, I really hope she doesn't die.
I do too. Yeah.
She feels like the heart of the movie.
Yeah, very much so. And those two in particular, like the fact that they were even on the one shot that was released a few weeks ago tells mm-hmm. me something. And it's the studio and, you know, maybe there's some fucking with this going on, but it's also a little bit different version of the studio than normal. Like this is, you know, because things aren't happening in person as much as they used to be. I feel like there's maybe going to be a little bit of a skew toward directorial power than there was previous to this.
Maybe.
Because it's easier to like tell somebody on Zoom to fuck off. But.
Right.
just frankly. or to just be like, mm-hmm, yeah, okay, cool. Close your laptop and go, oh, I'm not doing that shit at all. And go back to your daily business. But yeah, I don't think it was a red herring that those two were featured. I think there's going to be like a genuine, I think we're going to have some real feels about them. You see a couple shots over here that, you know, you can see her kind of like, it feels like it's going to be like the first time she gets the rats to trust her. And then there's this other moment where you see her just in all the debris and dust and sending the rats on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I think there's a lot. I think there's going to be a lot there.
Hopefully. but, you know. Yeah, I'm excited about this movie. James Gunn says that, you know, he had complete creative control. I'm very interested to see what he did. I got to admit, just seeing King Shark in the back of all of these shots, just doing nothing, just cracks me up.
It doesn't matter what he does.
I'm just sitting there chuckling at King Shark sitting over here in the back. Just
it's going to be fantastic either way. Now, I'm curious. There's one shot where Michael Rooker looks like he is just losing a child.
Yeah. And right before Starro's foot comes down.
Yeah. And I don't feel like the feet coming down on what looks like, you know, some rando guards unnamed are going to be what he's worried about.
Yeah, me either. Like, I
was literally a night and day shot.
Yeah. It's the color grading is completely different.
I don't know what they're going to go for exactly, but...
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear that kind of, at this point in my life, a very familiar Michael Rooker night. Like he has a scream. He has a rasp when he screams that like it feels very familiar to me. That's probably because he's from around here. And I've been screamed at by a lot of people from around here.
Yeah. You know how many times I've heard that voice call me boy?
I can hear his voice say Jason, for God's sake. I've heard that tone of voice so often. And in that accent. Yeah, like short of certain things, I feel like I could bring Michael Rooker to a family reunion and be like, "Yeah, dude, he's a distant cousin we didn't know about, man. Check him out." And
yeah, I can hear right that voice call way. Me Dave.
Yeah.
I can hear that voice say, "What's the matter with your friend Jason?" I don't know.
I could definitely hear like a "Boy, what you doing?" kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you got anything else on this trailer? What do you think?
Peter Capaldi.
What about him? I love him.
My last thing is Peter Capaldi. Yeah, it's fantastic. And, yeah.
I love that crazy-ass gun.
Still framing it around him. Idris yeah, the Bloodsport gun there. Yeah. Also looks like a lot of fun.
That shit looks like the Super Soaker I always wanted.
Isn't that what you dream about? I mean,
it is.
And as far as the voiceover for the whole trailer goes, like that's Capaldi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Given the way trailers work, I don't think we're going to hear that entire speech. Not the way it was laid out. Maybe not even in its entirety. But there are going to be hints of it, and I like that it's even going to be a thing that the thinker is considering.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a lot of fun, you know, for everyone that's not involved. Like for us, it's going to be fun. For them, shit show.
Hopefully. Like, I want to laugh so hard I almost puke, and then I want to cry so much that I question my existence. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. That's what I've come to expect from James Gunn via, you know, at the very least, the last Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I know there are some people who don't agree, but I'm sorry that, man, the Yondu, man.
What is it? In 10 minutes, you go from, like, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all, to... I want to say it was in like a 10, maybe 15 minute time range. You go from that scene to he may have been your father, but I was your daddy.
Yes.
Like you're just, I don't know. And even if you don't like the humor of it, of the like, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all, whatever the fuck the line was, but that's fine if you didn't get the laugh. But if you didn't understand the feels of the like, but I was your daddy thing, oh man, I don't know what to tell you.
Like that's right up there with Will Smith's "Why Don't He Want Me, Man."
I know, dude. Like, if you had a good father figure, that's the kind of scene where you'd be like, "Oh man, I appreciate that I had a good father figure," and have some feel over it. And if you didn't, that's the kind of thing where you're like, "Fuck, I wish I had that kind of."
Yeah,
I don't.
But you know, there's like a legion of people out there who's like, "No, because they made a joke earlier, and now it undercut everything."
Yeah, but those people, they're like the Venn diagram that I'm talking about between the people that could feel one thing and not the other. It's a circle with some shades.
Yeah,
it's not even. Yeah, it's not even a thing. Like those people are like tiny little orbits exiting the Venn diagram's orbit. Like tiny little satellites just going away. Like meteors passing in the night that we don't give a fuck about.
So someone on Twitter says, "Why with the last Red Band trailer released only a week ago, why is this presumably Green Band one so different? Even as theatrical exclusive trailer isn't the usual procedure to make them vaguely the same with just changing / editing out the more adult material. James Gunn said I was firm in not wanting to make two trailers exactly the same. That bugs me when they do that. If we're going to ask fans to watch two trailers, let's give them a reason to do so, focusing on different aspects of our film."
Oh, that's fantastic.
Thank you, James.
I do appreciate that. You'll see like Red Band trailer and it's just got four extra seconds and someone says fuck.
Mm-hmm. I hate that.
What are we even doing, man?
I hate that shit.
Also, it's a PG-13 trailer. The movie itself is going to have the fuck in it. Just commit.
Yep. Now, let's see. Heat Vision. There was a big article that dropped, and we'll talk about it in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But embedded in there, and a few weeks ago, Ann Sarnoff said something that, you know, a couple of our listeners were like, "Wait, what?" And I was like, "Oh, I hope they just said that weird." But look, this Heat Vision article says...
Was it about the rope? No. Okay.
This Heat Vision article says, except for the Batman, which is set on an alternate Earth known to geeks as Earth 2, DC is plotting its films and shows to share the same universe. Key to setting up its new status quo will be The Flash, which will tackle the multiverse and is said to also lend clarity to the future of the Justice League with multiple Batmen as well as Supergirl appearing. And it should be noted that currently in the comics, Earth 2, that's where the Val Zod Superman is.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what that means Black Superman. Oh, gasp. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
oh no, they've ruined it. No.
But so yeah, that's a thing. If that's what they're doing, I don't know. I don't know how that affects the CW shows. I know, are they talking about how it's still going to be a multiverse, but they all just kind of interconnect from time to time? Are they just saying they're going to reset all of the timelines and, like, in addition to Supergirl and Black Lightning getting canceled, The Flash and Superman and Lois, which just got renewed for a second season, is going to... Nope, that's probably not going to be what's happening.
Yeah.
So, I think this is once again DC just not knowing what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, that would be my quick spoiler alert. Go ahead and ignore this news cycle. And well, I really mean that. Just ignore it. Like, don't invest your time, energy, or fucking anger in it.
Right.
It'll probably course correct. And if it doesn't, it's also going to do something so unexpected that you're going to need that emotional energy to deal with whatever bullshit they come up with. Just, just hang back.
Now, see, the thing is like this article was very specifically trying to push a certain agenda. Mm-hmm. On top of, I mean, they did announce that New Gods from Ava DuVernay and Tom King and The Trench from James Wan was canceled. Mm-hmm. They are not moving forward with it. Walter Hamada said that they're leaving the door open to revisit those properties in the future, but, you know, they didn't have a natural spot for it on the slate over the next few years, and they didn't want to basically leave those filmmakers hanging in development. Mm-hmm. But then they go ahead and say this: New Gods, which would have been a sprawling tale, was complicated by the fact that its villain Darkseid just appeared as a major foil in Zack Snyder's Justice League, and there was a desire to have space between the latter and any new appearances. So they just blamed it on Zack Snyder.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the whole thing. They were like, guess what? Your buddy, who stands by Ray Fisher. Mm-hmm. Your buddy stopped two people of color from making their movies.
Right, yeah.
And kept you from watching
that. And this vaunted Snyder of yours also took that away as well.
Which, look, I know I say all the things. By the way, all the things.
New Gods, by the way, which are also the fourth world, but meaning the fourth version of the gods in certain, in a lot of ways, you know, headed by this guy named Darkseid, mostly because he took power, whose catchphrase is Darkseid is, who, by the way, has died more times than I can count. And mm-hmm. You know what his special power is, beyond being, you know, really fucking powerful, is that Darkseid fucking is. He always comes back, and he comes back different if he wants to. Like,
yeah,
there is no version of reading these comics, even in the last 5 fucking years. Yeah, Darkseid were wrapped up in, what, 2016 or some shit? And that was Geoff Johns, by the way. Mm-hmm. Where they literally killed Darkseid, introduced Grail, and then reintroduced Darkseid as baby Darkseid.
As a baby.
As a cute little wee baby. You can put him on your shoulder. He came back. And he came back, by the way, in fucking Justice League Odyssey sometime later in the Scott Snyder version of things. Like, you cannot possibly tell me that, oh, one version of Darkseid is all we can handle. That's the mm-hmm. most bullshitness thing I've heard all day.
No, they're pushing a narrative. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
And despite whatever, you know, look, don't cancel your HBO Max subscriptions. You know, Zach has not said to stop that or to do that yet. And
it is definitely not the way to go with the movement and the momentum.
Yeah, no, if you want more of Snyder's stuff, yeah. You better keep it.
Also, keep watching. It's not like, don't treat the entire company as though there's nothing to offer. Like, dude, I'm going to watch the fuck out of this Mortal Kombat movie in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
I am going to devour that thing. I may watch it and get to the end and go, well, that was terrible. I mean, truthfully, I did that with Godzilla vs. Kong. Like,
yeah, no, I have nothing for that. I it was funny because, like, you and I share the DC On Screen account on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so every once in a while, I'll pop over there and be like, oh, we have notifications. To what? Like, why do we have responses? And then I'll see, like, you were talking about, like, oh, don't even pretend that you don't want to see the lizard punch the donkey punch the monkey or whatever the hell
ape.
You said.
Ape. It would be an ape.
Whatever you said. And yes. I was like, I don't have to pretend. I don't want to see that. I don't give a damn.
Look, my thoughts going in were like, don't even pretend you don't want to see this movie, because of course you want to see this movie. Were you raised in the 20th century? Were you born there? Were you raised in the 21st? You were born there too?
I was raised in the 23rd century. I was raised in the 23rd century watching Kirk and Spock.
Even that. Would you not want to go to a planet where that's what you saw? Was there not, sir, an infamously badly shot lizard battle? But yeah, I wanted to see the hell of that movie. I wanted to see Eric from fucking True Blood on it, or Skarsgård, whatever his name is. I wanted to see all that stuff.
If there is a dimensional rift and Guillermo del Toro is allowed to do like a Pacific Rim versus Godzilla versus King Kong, I will watch the shit.
Oh, yeah. Kaiju battle?
Yeah.
Yeah, just straight kaiju battle. Yeah, I get that. I wanted to watch the shit out of this movie. I did. I thought it was a mess. I have nothing for it. I will never watch it again. Probably never watch it again. It doesn't mean I didn't want to watch it and I wasn't excited about it. It doesn't mean I'm going to cancel my fucking subscription, dude.
Right.
I'm going to watch the other stuff that might be fun and good, and there's plenty to offer.
Yeah, I'll.
I'm going to keep watching Looney Tunes in my spare time, for God's sake.
I have Mortal Kombat on my to-do list and Dune. And other than that, I don't know. But
well, the Suicide Squad.
We'll see. Oh yeah, the Suicide Squad. I was in non-DC mode for a second. Though this is legitimately a problem.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting the Suicide Squad is coming out. I just do. It's not a good thing.
No, for I think there's a
guy who hosts a DC podcast.
No, I think there's a part of you that thinks it's like in the future in a way where your brain hasn't actually clicked and given it a date. Where you're right. Like, oh, that's a thing on a calendar. I can get to that.
I feel like...
Like the same way you and I as depressed people sometimes like know that like, okay, the Snyder Cut is coming out on March 18th. I just have to survive that long.
Right.
And then after that, we'll see.
I think it is... It's one of those like... like a ghost thing, like a spirit thing, you know, where like I'm like, I have, because of all this Restore the Snyderverse stuff, I haven't been able to move beyond it. I just sort of still feel like I'm in 2017. Just like floating around going, restore, instead of just being excited about the Suicide Squad. It's a weird thing because I am excited about the Suicide Squad, but at the same time, I'm like, Warner Brothers is a dick. They're terrible people. Don't support them. No, you got to support them. Okay, I'll support them. But begrudgingly.
Yeah, it's a... there are no perfect things, man.
No.
It's one of my qualms with maybe BVS is like, you know, there were perfect things. No, there weren't. There never were. There won't be. We have only imperfect things. This is
Diamond Absolutes, though, man. Diamond Absolutes.
No. No, Diamond Absolute Ideals. Yes, absolutely. And that's something to strive for, but you have to be willing to accept reality and make some compromises because, dude, that's just how things work.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not trying to be cynical and fucking, always be closing on anything like Glenn Gehrig and Ross or something. But it's just, that's how the world works. It's not going to be perfect. It sucks. Fucking being a fan of anything that Warner Brothers puts out right now or God, for most of our lifetimes. And there are ups and downs for that. But honestly, for a lot of it, it's been taxing. And for the last 6-7 years, it's been just a shit show of, I want to hope, I want to hope, I want to hope. Oh, God, they fucked me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, occasionally it's like, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. And, oh, man, look what they gave me. Like, it feels like an abusive relationship, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways that are, yeah, like, that, and... That's real. There's like random gift giving that's supposed to make you feel better. A lot of gaslighting, attempts at such. Like, frankly, if the Restore the Universe hashtag has any use at this point, it's to make sure they can't gaslight the movie.
Yeah.
Like, keep that shit alive because you need to keep the narrative where it actually deserves to be, closer to the truth rather than what they're trying to tell you.
By the way, in that Ray Fisher interview, like they totally just, Warner Brothers absolutely just says flat out, Ray Fisher is a puppet of Zack Snyder.
Oh, yeah. No, he was being...
And that Zack Snyder was doing it to get back his control of the DC universe.
He was being manipulated by Zack Snyder. And even that, like, the article later just basically said, like, and Zack Snyder basically denied any of that.
Yeah. And Ray Fisher was like, so now they're trying to say that a black man can't have his own agency. He's like, that's more racist than anything else they've done.
Hold on. Your argument to a black dude getting turned down because he was trying to insist that he shouldn't be made to do certain things was that he was being manipulated?
By a white guy.
What the actual hell did you think you were accomplishing here?
That's bad, dude. But yeah, seriously, every
Warner Brothers press release and released it to some like philosophy students, like put it together as one document and released it to like some philosophy students. I think it would break them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you like released it as a news document, it would come across more like. Have you ever read the Ted Kaczynski manifesto?
No.
I've only read parts, but it's incoherent as hell. But it's incoherent, and the funny part is like for a couple paragraphs at a time, it'll build and seem like it's making a point, and then it just fucking goes into the other room and starts talking about something else. That's what this would sound like if you just ran it all together, all at once.
Yeah. And even if you don't. I feel like most people with, even with varying levels of agreement on certain aspects of it, like, none of this is a good look. Like, I know people who don't necessarily agree with Ray, but they look at what Warner Brothers puts out and goes, well, that's not good.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not. So yeah, I don't know. Whatever, guys. Like, keep your HBO Max subscription. Keep watching Zack Snyder's Justice League. Keep hashtagging Restore the Snyderverse, all that crap. And over the Flash, Ray Fisher was talking to Empire, and he said it'll be a bummer if he can't return a Cyborg. He says he and Andy Muschietti saw eye to eye on their approach to superhero stories and indicated that there's still a possibility he could appear in the film. He says, Andy seems to have his head on straight and understood these characters by making it about the relationship more than just a display of superpowers. We were on the same page about that, and it'll be a bummer if there's no way to resolve the issue. Now, the entire interview is coming out tomorrow in the new episode, in the new issue of Empire. So that'll be tomorrow for us, but it's probably on stands right now as you're listening to it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
and I don't know what else that interview said because it's not out yet.
It's a good reason.
Yeah. So it looks like the Flash though has gotten the VFX supervisor that was on, Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Oh, cool.
John DJ Disjardin. So, that's cool.
Yeah.
I hope, you know, hopefully there's some, you know, similarity at the very least with how the Speed Force looks on that movie with, what was in Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah. I mean, it couldn't hurt to at least bring him in to consult that. It looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Flash hasn't at times, but it'd be a good combination at least.
Yeah. Black Adam is filming as of the 10th.
Mm.
I can't believe it's actually filming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That made me happy to see.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't believe it's actually happening. It's just strange.
Yep.
Lucy Liu has been cast as a villain in Fury of the Gods. And she is going to be Calypso. There is no version of that character in the comics, but she will be the sister of Helen Mirren's character Hespera. Dude, I like Lucy Liu. I have liked her since Ally McBeal. I liked her in the Kill Bill movie. God, I've seen a lot of Elementary with her in it. I liked her in Lucky Number 11. That's a fantastic film, by the way.
Yeah, I've never been disappointed. You forgot her as a head in a jar.
I don't know what you're talking about.
In Futurama.
Oh, God. Everybody was a head in a jar in Futurama.
No, she was Bender's wife or girlfriend. I can't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, for a while. She was in his, like, infinite space. It was his own thing.
Okay.
They were a thing, though, for a minute.
Okay, cool. Was she actually Lucy Liu, or was she somebody else?
No, voiced by Lucy Liu, I believe.
Well, no, voiced by Lucy
Liu. Oh, no, Lucy Liu voiced. Lucy Liu as Head in a Jar, voiced by Lucy Liu, I'm pretty sure is how that went down.
Okay.
I will be saddened to find I'm wrong, but open.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Did you see this concept art that was poking around of Granny Goodness and Joker and Jon Stewart?
I saw Granny Goodness. Green Lantern. I'm not sure I saw the others.
Yeah, they actually, this dude, Jojo Aguilar, I guess, put out, it was four different pieces of concept art he did for Zack Snyder's Justice League. The one that, you know, everybody was freaking out about, other than Granny Goodness, really, was the Jon Stewart Green Lantern. Because, of course, we were supposed to get Jon Stewart Green Lantern in the movie. And based on the art, you know, a lot of people are saying it is actually going to be, it would have been Wayne T. Carr, a stage actor. I don't know him. Looks the part. And let's see, Harry Lennox, though, the guy that played, you know, Swanwick, and who it turned out to be a Martian Manhunter, said that, he says, all along, I knew that I was going to be in it. It was going to be Martian Manhunter and Jon Stewart, John Jones and Jon Stewart. He was telling this to the Lightcast podcast. He says, but then they made him take out that part. So I did go in later in like October to do the scene with Ben Affleck. So I think that was the recipient, that is to say the information that was conveyed in that scene, just had Manhunter do it, which I thought was fun. He said something to the effect that he felt there was a good way to tie it up. The information that needs to be put out there is out there. So he says, we know that the Green Lantern will live on in another part of the franchise, such as the DCU. Hey, man, I'm there to serve. It's not uncommon where actors, sometimes an actor has to fill in for another actor. It happens quite a bit. So, yeah. And I think I would have loved to have seen, Jon Stewart in Zack Snyder's Justice League had Warner Brothers let him do it. And I'll tell you this, that freaking Zack Snyder just, sorry, that McFarlane DC Multiverse Jon Stewart figure that they're coming out with, it looks like very similar to this concept art. So I'm halfway curious to know if they kind of started work on that and they were like, "Yeah, we're not gonna have that in there." Oh, that just releases a Jon Stewart.
I mean, probably. Anyway, they kind of they start work on stuff that didn't really work out.
Yeah,
I want to say probably.
So, yeah, that was, and by the way, that Jojo Aguilar guy says, this was the best experience of my career working with Zack Snyder. I worked for a long time, and by far he's the most professional, most personable, and coolest. And thanks, Jay Oliva, for introducing me to him.
Nice.
I always like to see that. So many people shit on Zack Snyder for no reason at all.
Yeah.
But no one in the industry who works with him ever has a bad thing to say. Just saying. So last thing we'll talk about, Batman The Long Halloween, before we get into fan feedback, or not fan feedback, listener feedback. Sorry, we don't have fans. I don't want to upset anybody. Batman The Long Halloween Part 1 trailer. You wanna talk about that, man?
Yep, I'll say that.
You feeling about it? I'm not a big fan of this art direction that they've taken since whatever it was, Man of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not either. It doesn't look like animation so much as like the, those animated graphic novels.
Yeah. Motion comics.
Yeah. That's the term I wanted.
Yeah. It looks like a certain kind of like 1960s, 1970s manga to me, but like there's a stiffness to it that I'm not, really very fond of. I do love David Dustmalchian again. Talking about somebody being crazy. There's lots of crazy out there. It's Calendar Man.
Yeah.
Doing a great job. I'm loving that Troy Baker is basically doing like Hamill with his own twist as the Joker. I love that freaking so far, at least as far as this trailer is concerned, the guy playing Alfred sounds like Alistair Duncan. Dude sounds like God, my brain's just going
An Alfred.
Yeah, well, he sounds like Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. from the Batman animated series.
Right.
Like spot on sounds like that dude. So that's really interesting. This is Naya Rivera's last role. I think she passed away and she's playing Catwoman. Yeah. And that's weird to even hear her, but kind of impressed with Jensen Ackles doing Batman here. He's doing a good job.
I thought that was one of the parts that was going to be seamless, and I'm not surprised. He feels like he could do a good Batman.
Maybe. I mean, well, clearly.
Yeah, it didn't seem like a bad fit for me at all. It was good casting.
Yeah. I kind of feel like maybe we've crossed that threshold where the chemical reaction is wearing off enough. Like the performance is just, you know, how at a certain point, the performance of Michael Chiklis in Gotham wore your chemical reaction to hate him out, and you just dug the character.
Yeah. No,
I think that's where we're at now with Jensen Ackles for me, where I'm just like, I've had enough distance since Smallville season 4 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Which was the last time I watched him regularly.
Yeah, that's fair. It's been a while for it.
And then he was, you know, he was Jason Todd on Under the Red Hood. And I went, okay, well, you did pretty good there, man. That was pretty dope. I could dig it. So, but I've grown a lot since then. So maybe I just hated him on Dark Angel and Days of Our Lives so much.
I mean, that's fair.
And yes, I absolutely watched him on Days of Our Lives.
Because, of course. I think that was one of the ones that I just only saw occasionally, but
yeah,
I'm familiar.
Like, it wasn't even like necessarily it was one of those things where like, yeah, I watched a bunch of soaps, but I watched Days of Our Lives. I watched Sunset Beach. And then subsequently I watched Passions. And I was so intrigued growing up with this idea of serialized storytelling where it was just like, oh my God, like I can just tune in every day and there's a new chapter. And, you know, this has been going, some of these, like, Days of Our Lives have been going since the 60s, since, like, what, 62 or so?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it's almost like you have to take them out of the conversation as far as, like, longest living television something, because it's not fair.
And, like, they have superpowers, they have freaking witchcraft, they have aliens, like, why aren't more comic book fans watching these things?
Right.
I'm just saying, like back in the day before CW, that's what I had.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, but Charity's closet is a hell now. It's a hell dimension and she's trapped in hell. And that's what Miguel has to deal with. Try to get her out, you know,
as one does.
All right. What else do you have to say about this long Halloween trailer? Anything else? Do we have anything?
No.
I think it looks cool.
It looks cool. The animation style is going to be a little bit boring for me, I think, but we'll see. It also looks super efficient money-wise.
It does look efficient. I do wish that stylistically it looked more like Tim Sale.
Sure. But that was a very wiry style that I feel like would cost a pretty good amount of money to have someone animate well.
I agree.
So I kind of get saving money, and they, in a lot of ways, they clearly spent some money on the cast of the voices and everything like that. But I don't know, man. I don't want to shit on it. It's going to be a terribly low budget, and it's not a style I completely dig. But I'm sure there'll still be some cool shots.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly a style they're going for, and.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some sort of, I would be very surprised if someone came out and said, actually, this is more expensive than what we were doing before. Really?
Okay. Actually, our plan was. But,
all right. Yeah, but I'm down. Spectacular voice cast. I love that story. I know it's not okay to like Jeff Loeb anymore, but you know, whatever. I don't know. I like that story.
Yeah. Being a piece of shit, I'm not saying that is, but still, making mistakes doesn't preclude you from writing good stuff every once in a while.
Yeah, no, Jeff Loeb wrote some of the best stuff out there for Batman and Superman specifically. Like, I like a lot of Jeff Loeb stuff. I really do. Like, Superman for All Seasons, Long Halloween, Dark Victory, Spider-Man Blue. I mean, he had a ton of great stuff out there, so... I'm sorry if he doesn't like Asians or whatever it was. I can't remember exactly. Something about how he said no, Asians weren't interesting to American audiences or something on one of those Marvel shows. I don't know. That's the rumor.
Yeah, he supposedly... I hate weighing in even with the word supposedly. But the article was that he checked in and said no one's going to care about this guy as a lead. We need to demote him. So, yeah, that was the whole story.
Okay.
There were some details as far as who said what.
I saw headlines. I don't know. Because he was like, the president of Marvel Television?
Can't remember.
Before Feige took it over anyway. So, I don't know. I don't keep up with Marvel very well because I keep up with DC and I just can't.
Yeah.
I would prefer to go into Marvel just going like ignorant. Just like, I don't know what's happening. Let me just enjoy something.
Yeah.
Without sitting there going like, yeah, you see that third extra? Yeah. He's a piece of shit. Yeah, did you see what he said on Twitter?
Yeah.
All right. We've got some listener feedback coming up, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with all of that, including an update on our The Suicide Squad Deadpool poll. And we are back, and we've got some listener feedback. Let's get up to Effie Opelders of Stealing the Remote. Fantastic podcast. Mm-hmm. Started his second season now, and thumbs up all around, y'all. Go check that out. Stealing the Remote. But Effie says, am I a bad fan for not having rewatched Zack Snyder's Justice League a second time yet? Still stuck midway through with my girlfriend, but it's not on HBO Max, so I'm not sure if the execs will even know. Also, which dick bag told HBO Max to put the word trilogy in their trailer? I don't know which dick bag. It's Warner Brothers, Warner Media, all of those cats right now. They're pushing a narrative. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're a bad fan.
No.
For not having rewatched it, especially if you're doing so in a... less than legal fashion. I guess it doesn't matter.
In any fashion, it's just that is so much time to put aside.
Yeah, it's a lot of time to put aside. I've put it on in the background, but I haven't like given it a proper rewatch. Not like sat down and like stared at it.
I think I've probably watched it 4 times, but the first time was sit down and stare at it uninterrupted. And the last few have just been that I've been throwing it on in the background, and I've cumulatively watched it probably 4 times. Mm-hmm. But parts broken up.
Right. Which apparently is still bad because they're like, see, people aren't watching it all the way through. Like, that's all the headlines. Like, see, people aren't.
No, it may be playing all the way through. It doesn't mean I have, nothing going on that I can stare at it for 4 hours. It just means I may have to go do something for 20 minutes and come back and see where I am and watch it.
Mm-hmm. Joshua Hamilton over on Twitter, Anglo the Saxon, if you want to find him, says, if AT&T creates a DC Studios that ran independently of WB Pictures, like Marvel Studios and functions like that on the business end, but gives us DC content that feels like DC, not DC content that feels like it's trying to be Marvel, pick who oversees it all, who runs film, who runs stream, /TV/CW. No.
In short, no. No one should.
Well, first of all, let me say, I haven't heard anyone talk about DC Studios properly before the Flightcast, before Ray over on Flightcast. So I do want to give props to him. Hashtag DC Studios. But... I don't know. I don't know. I had a take on this 4 or 5 years ago and, was foolish enough to post it on Twitter and got a bunch of like wannabe screenwriters attacking me and telling me I don't know anything about the business. So, yeah, I don't know. I like as like an overall head to steer the ship. I like Jim Lee, but you know, a few years ago I would have said Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
And now I would say Geoff Johns doesn't need to be in charge of anything.
Yeah. It is a different skill set, and it's difficult. And Feige is singular in a couple talents he has. So it's it's hard to compare that. He is a very impressive individual at what he does.
Yeah. And I'll say this, though. Whoever, like, I'm fine with Berlanti running the TV side of things. I just want... I want less episodes, and I want more. I want some of that HBO Max money coming to The Flash, like it is with CW, like it is with Superman and Lois. I want some of that HBO Max money coming to.
Yeah, I get that, but
you know, Batwoman and whatever, you know, hangs around after the fall, because Superman and Lois is killing it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's just hard to it's hard to pull off, like it. You have to wrangle so much creative talent, and then you have to wrangle the money behind it, and getting those two to marry, because the money may not understand what they're trying to shoot for, and they may be right or wrong for trying to shoot for it. But
yeah, it's a difficult conversation,
and somebody has to actually tie that together and say, "Hey, listen, money, trust me. I know this sounds weird. Trust me." And then they have to be right over and over again before the money eventually says, "You know what? I don't know what you're going for, but go for it."
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult, but yeah, I would shoot for. Not bad,
though. He's done a pretty good job.
No, he's done a fantastic job, really. And I think the biggest fault of any of these CW shows now at this point, and you know, I've shit on them before. I've stood up for them before. I've enjoyed the hell out of them before. I wish they would just go away before. Like it's been a long road, yeah. Man. With these CW it's shows, a
roller coaster.
Some of them I've loved, some of them I've been ultimately met on, but the one thing that I've said across the board on every one of them, they need short seasons with good quality storytelling. Not even the special effects, which, by the way, the special effects on The Flash look like ass this year.
But I'm not surprised.
That's fine. That's fine if that's what they need to do.
It was harder to do effects with... Yeah, some of the protocols this year. I get that.
My sister-in-law messaged me. She's like, "Does Barry look like he's been eating too many quarantine pizzas this year?" I'm like, "No, baby got swole." I was like, "Look, see," I like centered the pictures. I was like, "See the pecs? Circled the pecs." Mm-hmm. And like, so circled the arms. It's like, "See, that's swole."
And he was
not fat. That's
he swole. Was suddenly wearing swim gear. Like. What are those called? What are the things you... The little floaties. Floaties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we go.
I was like, look. I was like, see, now he looks more like the comic book Flash. I sent her like a picture of the comic book Flash with the same pecs and arms circle. I was like, see the similarities? Mm-hmm. They thick.
Mm-hmm. they thick, boys.
Barry done got dummy thick.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. Because why not? But no, I don't know. I would like very much for the story to be more cohesive, less expository. Like, let's do less soap opera. Let's do less, like, every week we talk about the things that we've already seen. Especially if you're, like, binging, like, 3 or 4 episodes at a time. You're like, yeah, I just saw that episode. Stop explaining it.
Yeah.
In, like... Some got fake conversational thing, like that fake conversation cadence. Like, yeah, we know, buddy. We just saw everything I've been through this season. Like, shut up.
Yeah. I kind of get the imperative that it's like every episode could be someone's first. I get it. It's a hard line to draw, though.
I mean, it's just not the way it's structured anymore. It shouldn't, or it shouldn't be.
Not necessarily.
Because everything is bingeable now.
They met. You know, in terms of actual pure episode time, they met, you know, 64 minutes ago. And then later, hell, it's only like 4 days in actual, like, fictional show time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because remember when you did blah, 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 and blah, 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 and they go on for 20 seconds. You're like, well, that was a painful exposition dump, but okay, cool.
Right. Yeah, I hate exposition dumps. And I will say this, like, when I watched, you know... well, anything that didn't have them or anything that doesn't happen. Like my wife will be watching something on Netflix that I haven't seen or whatever it is. And I'll come through and be like, or I'll see an episode and they don't do an exposition dump. I'm sitting there going, so who was that? Mm. Why were they doing that? Mm-hmm. And yeah, she has to pause and explain it to me, but I'm way more interested. Mm-hmm. If I go and sit down for some random thing because I just need to eat something and they do an exposition dump, I'm like, okay, well, that was a lot and bad writing. Bye.
Well, you can have shows like Legion where occasionally you want to pause the episode and beg for an exposition dump. Like, okay, what brought us here? I've watched every moment. 3 or 4 times. And I just want to know what's relevant to the moment we're in now, because I don't know if there's time or relevance, and he may be a god, and I just don't understand. Yeah, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was episode 2.
Yeah. Anyway. Reco Jet over on Twitter, Drew Mathers, says to us, when/how will you know it's time to give up trying to restore the Snyderverse? When Zach says so. When Zach says, just keep watching it. Just put it on repeat. When Zach stops saying that stuff and he's just like, yep, I think it's over. I think it's done. Okay.
Yep.
And he hasn't said that. He's still holding out hope.
No, and by the way, in retrospect, he was cagey before about, well, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you know, something could happen.
He's always been like cagey and noncommittal to everything.
Yeah.
So when he stops being like that and says it's over, yeah.
Yeah. You want you're looking for like a Mark Maron response where like 4 hours after they're like, glow's done. Mark Maron's tweet was like, glow's done. Yeah, it sucks. It's over. Bye.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing or heavily, but that was very much the spirit.
The real answer though is when Zack Snyder says it's over, or I just kind of fade out and stop doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever happens first.
Yeah. Or dementia. That's the real answer.
Or I think that was 3 years ago for me.
Or looking forward to that good coma shit right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even then, arguably,
Ryan Hulsman
throw it in the background. He'd be like, oh, shit. Same commercial over and over again.
Ryan Hulsman, the amazing Ryan guy over on Twitter, says, do folks at Warner not understand what a multiverse is and why the answer and why is the answer yes? I don't know what their problem is, dude.
I think they keep having a plan and then they it's like someone in the room gets louder and says, I told you so, let's do it this way. And then they're wrong, too. And they just keep cycling.
Yeah, they don't know what to do. And it's frustrating. And the only thing they can get together on is, you know, it'd be a good idea is to make the fans upset and keep trying to push a narrative that they don't want to hear.
Or at least there's one guy with like a t-shirt full of graph paper and a bunch of charts in his hands that stands up and says, you know what? We don't need, apparently, is these damn fans.
Mm-hmm. That's the real problem here. Yeah. They have all this money they want to give us and, well, that's really gumming up the works.
And what I'm seeing is we should spend it this way instead.
Maybe there's some, you know.
Like if you walked into one of those boardrooms and there was just literally a chant that was like, fuck the fans. And they were all just getting around by like, it was a motivational group speaker that just came around to like hype them up after some of the Ray Fisher news or something. It was the mantra they had adopted for that weekend before the paintball session.
Yeah.
And, I wish. A bagel with schmears. Break. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had the faith in Warner Brothers to believe that this was all just to get the fans more hyped up so they'd go and watch it more and more.
I would be offended for so many reasons. Like, one, why did you think that was work?
The Restore the Snyderverse hashtag and all the other hashtags are
it did, but like why,
continually trending. Why was but
that your first idea? You know what we'll do? We'll make stuff and we'll have some really impressive, but we'll just have some really impressive stuff fan wise product come out. And what we'll do is we'll bomb the shit out of the merch table at the Junkets, so that everyone hates us and writes bad reviews. And then
once we have mixed reviews between the online credit, like, and the criticism and the actual fan reviews, what we'll do then is we'll invite that director to make more of his vision, and then we'll cut him off at the last second, right before it matters. Mm-hmm. And we'll just cut the knees out of it. And then we'll have him do it again for just a hot second, and then we'll cut the knees out of that even further. And by the end, it's going to look like the, you know, the Black Knight and Monty Python.
Mm-hmm.
That can't have been anyone's plan.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying there are people out there, and I've at least considered it or hoped that it could be true, that they said, hey, the way to really rally the fan base is to say that we're not going to do anymore. And for Zach to be like, watch it on repeat, and then they'll watch it on repeat and our numbers will look phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's my greatest fear with telling people, like, listen, we can't just bail on HBO Max, is that somehow we're being manipulated into keeping that part afloat and against even our own will, against our best interests. I can't rule it out. It bothers me.
Oh, yeah. And last piece of feedback from Chris Balga over at the World's Finest True Believers podcast, which, by the way, go check that out. Go subscribe to it. I'm going to be on the May 26th episode.
Nice. Yeah.
I think
it's a lot of fun.
Yep. We're going to be talking about It's a Bird by Stephen T. Siegel. So it's a fantastic graphic novel. Mm-hmm. Chris says, which three characters in the Suicide Squad do you think are first to be killed? Who is one member that you think should survive but could end up being killed? And who is on your Suicide Squad? Five members. Now, we did a Deadpool, though, didn't we?
Yep.
Like 9 episodes ago, episode 624.
Mm-hmm. Of
episode 624, we did
the Suicide Squad. We did indeed.
Yes. So, which three characters did we think were going to be killed first?
Well,
because I don't remember what we said back then.
What we did. All right, so we pulled things apart, and there were 17 characters in the first footage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I independently, just to break that up and make it an even figure, we decided that Harley would live. So we took her off the board.
Sure,
As
one does.
And then, yeah, I'm just writing Harley down right there because I forgot to write it. Then we went back and forth, and we were trying to, you know, we were just doing it like team captain style. Like, we flipped to see who had to go first, and basically, the more dead people you had on your team at the end, you won, because we were trying to pick who would die first. So in order, between you and I, going back and forth, we picked Blackguard. That was your first pick that you had. You were out of the gate. That was your idea.
Yeah. Pete Davidson, right?
Ooh, you know what?
What's happening?
You know what? I was wrong about that.
Oh, no. He was wrong. Jason said he was wrong.
I was not wrong about you picking Blackguard. I was wrong that you got the first pick. I picked Weasel.
Oh.
And that was what evened us up. I didn't write a one about his name because it was a zero. Anyway, so I picked Weasel first. And then you had Blackguard.
Mm-hmm.
I had Thinker. You had Javelin.
Okay.
I had Sulsoria. And you had Bloodsport. Those were our first six. If we're talking about the first five to die, then, you know, that's roughly it.
Yeah.
Those are our rounds.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I guess it would be Weasel, Thinker, Sulsoria, and for you, Blackguard, Javelin, Bloodsport. How do you feel after watching a couple trailers about Blackguard, Javelin, Bloodsport as being the first to go?
I think I would change it to Blackguard, Javelin, and the Detachable Kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bloodsport's a little too much. He's a little too
featured.
He's dick deep in that thing, man. Okay.
I think you're thinking at the time was like, it's too big a name. They're gonna kill him and reduce the cost, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
It may still be the case, but featured in the trailers. I had Weasel, Thinker, Sulsoria, and I could still get behind Sulsoria, mostly because I don't even know if I've seen her so far.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. And I don't think Weasel will die.
I don't either. I think that was a bad call. I just I think I missed the boat on that one. I think I was thinking it was the CGI aspect of it that it would be hard to keep up with. And then specifically Thinker, I mean, he's the heart of the second, you know, Rebel trailer, Rebellion trailer, whatever. I think I was way off base with that. I do think he'll die. I just don't think he should have been right. My top pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he'll die closer to the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
Of course, you know, I want an HBO Max spinoff of Capaldi as the Thinker, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, I could deal with that. Mostly because I'm quite certain he could carry it.
Yeah. Now, who is the one member that you think should survive but could end up being killed?
I mean, if we look at the bottom of our list, it was the very last pick among anyone was Waller. Mm-hmm. Just to give you the last three of either Waller, Peacemaker, Boomerang, Savant, Rick Flag, King Shark. Those were our last six.
Mm-hmm.
Well, including Harley, because we should put her there. That was the last seven. It's a pretty good bottom half. And like among those, reading back, King Shark, Rick Flag, Savant, Boomerang, Peacemaker, Waller, and Harley. What would be your pick?
I have a bad feeling. Like there, I feel like Ratcatcher is going to be the heart of the movie, but I also think she might die.
All right, so yeah. That's fair. We had her middle ground, but that was before a lot of the rest of it. You know what?
I'm also very afraid that King Shark is going to die.
I'll tell you what,
though. I do not want King Shark to die.
Me neither. But I'm going to, in solidarity with the one shot, I'm going to pick Polka Dot for the same answer.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you the opposite side of that poster and stick with you on that answer.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that, like, he wants to die, and then at the end, he sacrifices himself despite wanting to live.
Exactly. Yeah, I can do that.
And Dost Malshian can pull it off too.
Yeah,
because he's dope.
Absolutely.
Who is on your Suicide Squad? Five members.
Do each of us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just looking at the list here, I'm gonna need some.
We're different people.
Oh yeah. Since when? Did you file the paper?
Forever. we have been legally emancipated. Mm. Remember that girl you dated who you brought home and she met me and she went, oh God, there's two of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened.
It was fantastic.
The
we're just both sitting there playing Call of Duty and talking shit. And she's just like, ah, shit.
I'm not gonna be getting on with this conversation. Awesome. Good to know.
So where was I in my Cosmo magazine?
Yeah. I'm going to pick based on just general attributes. I'm going to say Polka Dot because
okay.
That sounds like it's going to be a pretty funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Rick Flag because I forgot how much I liked Kinnaman's accent in these films.
Okay.
And he's probably going to be my team captain. I'm going to say Blackguard because you won't, and I'm going to try to pick him up off the map.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say Boomerang because I like his sense of humor, and Savant.
Okay. If I had to assemble I'm assuming this is from all the DC universe, so this is, I can just do whatever the hell I want here.
I was just going from that list, but hey, nothing stopping you. Go for it.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I would say I like Rick Flag. I'd throw him at the top. Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, Boomerang, and King Shark.
Yeah, it's pretty solid too. Yeah, that is.
If I had six, I'd probably throw in Black Spider.
Mm, that is solid.
Maybe Killer Frost.
Yeah, that is good.
I would love to have Killer Croc and King Shark on the same team, both like vying for the dumb animal member slot, you know?
Trying to eat more enemy guards per mission to prove dominance.
Like fighting over it?
Yeah.
Fighting over it to some degree.
Yeah, like they get in, they finish this complicated mission, a bomb is diffused, they get out, and as they're leaving, you just see King Shark and Croc, and they've got like two sides of a torso, and they're like, like just playing tug of war with it. Have you been here the whole time?
I will say, though, is... I'm loving the Stallone version of King Shark, but in my heart now, Ron Funches is King Shark.
Yeah, like, that's a lot of fun. That take is really good. They're both pretty great.
It's sort of like Momoa still hasn't won me over from friggin' Bender. What's his name? My brain's not working.
If you hadn't said John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio. God, I could. My brain wouldn't keep.
Shamed how long that took me.
I know. I'm like, he didn't. I know that voice. I know that. Like my brain is trying to like egg me on, jog my own memory.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love John DiMaggio's take of Aquaman on Brave and the Bold so much that like Momoa still hasn't quite gotten there for me to some degree. Like, I'm just still like, I mean, just I know they're all different.
Will this ever be the same?
Well, like when I see that, and what kills me is that like I kind of wish James Gunn had done the Hammerhead version of King Shark, just because like this version of King Shark looks so much, he just looks like live action Ron Funches version of King Shark. So like when I see him, I expect him to just talk like Ron Funches instead of Rocky. Yeah,
for sure. This looks like a shark you could have a beer with.
Yeah. Though we'll say they've got the mannerisms down in that trailer when he says hand and they're like, yep, that's your hand. And he like the way he like sits back and like looks over to the side, that totally, that's like a Stallone mannerism. Like they have that perfectly.
I somehow read it as like very proud he answered the question. Like, I got this.
By the way, you know what we didn't talk about? Mm-hmm. What should be the title of BVS?
Oh, the actual title of Batman vs. Superman. Dawn of Justice isn't bad if you have some follow through.
Right. I didn't mind Dawn of Justice.
I agree. BVS is.
Terrio said he thought putting Batman and Superman in the title was just like marketing, but I'm like, also, like, can we stop with the whole like Dark Knight, Man of Steel shit? Like, it's okay to just say Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. It just is.
Yeah.
But it was a long title, and Batman v Superman, and there's that confusion with the versus v courtroom.
I mean, it's not confusing as far as how it's meant to be used.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not meant to be used for, any kind of physical combat if it's a V.
Yeah, I feel like there are like two different, there's a spectrum, and on one end is Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. Right. And on the other end of the spectrum is World's Finest. And you don't want either of those titles.
Not for this. Not for this. I mean, God, it was a pretty sprawling movie before we knew, anything like a 4-hour Snyder Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to think. So even then you had Man of Steel, then this was the thing, then Wonder Woman, then Justice League, Aquaman. That's how it ended up. And I know this was supposed to be part of the whole Justice League trilogy, as it would have been originally, not with this being the ending.
Mm. Well, taking a page out of the comics, the recent comics, we can call it the Unnecessarily Dark Knight.
It's tempting to come up with like these super dark kind of titles and somehow try to work the Dark Knight phrasing into Superman, like Superman Dark Knight or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have made sense, but or just be weird with it, like the Mother's Brothers.
Oh God,
Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, Bounce 2 Final Reckoning. No, I think I probably would have just called it Man of Tomorrow. I would have made it more of a Man of Steel sequel, but introduced Batman and actually had him as the villain, him and Luthor as the villains. Like, kind of like what it was.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's what drives me nuts when people are like, I want a Man of Steel too. We had it. It was called Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
There's a chance I would have pitched Man of Steel and then later Son of Krypton.
Hmm.
Yeah, just because it was going to be such a movie about lineage and also all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the kryptonite was so, key to that movie. I might have thrown it on the table.
I may have called it New Frontier.
Mm, that would be solid. I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, if we were going with let's not call a movie by the title that we should call it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, if you're just picking something that's an homage but doesn't really make sense if you think about it too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not bad.
I mean, I like New Frontier because it is like you can see the New Frontier, you know, on the horizon in BVS.
Ooh, that might be fun. Superman, Black Sun.
Hmm. But I still think Man of Tomorrow is my favorite.
I could dig it. Honestly, just do it the way they do in the comics a lot. Normally it's Batman, Superman, and then it's Batman on one line, a line, and then Superman below the line.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it that way more times than I can count. It's not standard, so few things are. But even if you did that, just Superman and Batman, or just Superman, the same thing, Batman, because you're going to make it a Superman-led thing or whatever. And then, like, if it was IMDb page, it would read Batman/Superman, blah, 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 whatever year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you could just, you know, Man of Steel, and then the sequel being BVS, call BVS Man of Sorrow.
Yeah.
And, like, do like Zach likes to do, like, have one of these, like, you know, really artsy trailers with, like, Bruce, you know, doing his CrossFit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days.
Or take the Luthor thing into account, and it would really change the soundtrack. But like Superman Wicked Games,
mm-hmm.
be a very different.
Yeah.
I don't know where you would have used that song. Maybe in the bathtub scene.
Or call it Devil's Above.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that really could work though. Devil's Above would be pretty solid.
I'd be down with that.
Yep.
That seems cool. Ooh, you could just call it Hero Cake.
Or, you know, something generic-ish like Superman Mind Games.
Hmm.
Generic enough. Superman Tales of a Jolly Rancher.
Right. I like the... It's a bit long, but Must There Be a Superman is a pretty solid title.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like it as a title in the sense that, like, if it was an essay, I'd be very interested. If it was a movie, I'd think, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I don't know.
I think that's all I can pitch.
I think that's all I got. I'm tuckered, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I want to. What's that Mitch Hedberg bit about? Just he wants a job naming kitchen appliances because it's whatever the thing does plus or on the end of it.
Mm, yeah.
Or on the end of it.
Yeah.
Refrigerator. It refrigerates. Oh, that keeps things crisp. It is a crisper.
Mm-hmm.
We should apply that to it.
Superman-er.
Oh, no. I was going to be like, what does that thing do? It divides the fan base. Let's call it a divider. All right, I think I'm done. You got anything else?
Yeah.
You want to say to these fine, upstanding people?
Yeah, no. Other than see you soon.
Yep, we'll be back soon. And my belief is if you're a patron, you'll see us sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, keep some DC on your screens. Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC OnScreen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.dv.